covering my tomorrow with throne. I'm covering my tomorrow.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you for joining us. And we want to thank NHISD and Princess Cooper.
Almost talked you out of it.
We had to get out of the way. Is that all right?
It wasn't meant to
I received in the last portion of the day. I want you to just look at your neighbor and just begin to tell him things. I trust God to move in whatever my spirit can tell me. Tell him to be grateful. I trust God. Thank you, Lord God. I trust God. I trust God to move in my family. I trust God to move in my kids. I trust God to move in my ministry beyond just from here. I trust. I trust God to bring the things that I've been believing for to pass. And that I'm not foolish for believing it. Is that all right? I trust God. I trust God. I do. I trust God. I trust God to bring forth the property. I trust. Hallelujah. God, I trust God, hallelujah, to give me more speaking days for the day. Yeah, I'm not leaving, but I need to do that. Amen. I'll say it be strong. Maybe it'll be my faith. Amen, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I trust God to do that. I trust God to keep y'all and protect you because something has to happen to me. I trust Him to keep going to the best year we have ever seen.
Thank you. Now, I just like to say, there was some good preaching yesterday. I'll tell you what. But the best preachers come from the Father's house. I'll tell you, Father's house got some preachers in it, man. Man, I'm telling you, Pastor Wells, I stayed by her this morning. She was obedient to God. Didn't get what God told her to do. And then, now she's praying with Chuck Norris. And Chuck Norris is why. Oh, man. Come on now.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street you know so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? bad circumstances. I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, to reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for every offering, Lord God, that's been put into this place, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for every sacrifice that has been given by this people, Lord God. And I pray for your blessing, Lord God, upon that sacrifice, upon that person, Lord God. I know, Lord God, that you see our gifts, you see our sacrifices, Lord God. And I know that your favor and your blessing will be upon us. I thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Ashley, are you feeling well? I want you to come into frustration by the Syria. Okay, I can use your Bible, your cell phone, your iPad. But we're getting in the habit of reading our paper. When you take five minutes, lower it to ten. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I'm going to be reading the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
Which is the will of God.
For my life.
Today,
I boldly confess.
I will be what it says I can be.
I will be what it says
I can be.
Corinthians 16:13, 2 Corinthians 5,
6 and 7, and then Matthew 14, verse 31, Matthew 21, verse 22, and then on the very last one, you'll be reading out of Proverbs 3, 5, and we'll hand over the microphone to our next minister. So on Hebrews 11, 1, he said, I now faith is the assurance, the title and deed, confirmation of things hoped for, the finally guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends, expects what cannot be experienced by the physical senses.
Es como lo en hebreo, tenemos mucha gente que creyó en Dios, que confió en Dios. Tenemos a Tuvimos ahí a Abraham, Isaac y Jacob. Todos ellos tuvieron la fe en Dios. Cuando Dios les decía que hicieran algo, ellos lo hicieron por fe. No porque ellos querían gloriarse, le estaban dando la gloria a Dios. Aquí también está.
Hebrews 1, he was saying that we had heroes that were stood on faith. Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. For some, Moses, that stood on faith that God had asked them to stand on. And, okay, go ahead.
Nosotros también tenemos en la vida eterna. La vida eterna es algo que tenemos que tener fe. Si no tenemos fe en la vida eterna, no vamos a tener nada. La vida es algo que Dios nos dio. Y tenemos que tener fe. Es como si cuando mi esposa tuvo 7 años orando por mí. Ella tuvo fe. Y es algo que es muy importante cuando nosotros tenemos fe en la gloria de Dios. Es lo más grandioso que puede haber aquí. Vemos en Juan 5, 4.
And it uses those words because they're very important in our walk of faith. God gave us eternal life, which describes it as it was done by grace. Through faith, we have to have that faith in faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world in us. And without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Porque todo aquel que nació de Dios, tenemos la victoria en Dios, pero tenemos que tener fe en Dios. Tenemos que seguir adelante con el camino del Señor. Muchas veces uno pide, se ora al Señor, pero no tiene esa fe. Muchas veces le dice, Señor, te pido por esto, pero nos desesperamos, no vemos dónde está lo que Dios lo que hablamos.
He says that, you know, we have to have that strong faith. We do have to stand on the faith that God has given us. Sometimes we get impatient. I know he has. You know, we get impatient, and when we get impatient, like he said, you know, it's not going to move. Your situation is not going to move because God has called you to do one thing, and it's to stand by faith and believe and trust in him through obedience.
Muchas veces uno quiere que las cosas pasen en ese momento, pero Dios tiene su tiempo. Dios nos da el tiempo para que Él nos dé lo que nosotros queramos, pero tenemos que tener fe. La fe es bien importante. La fe dice que mueve montañas, y es verdad. Porque, mírenme, look at me, mírenme a mí. Yo era una de las personas que hasta yo les decía a los hermanos, son a mí, ¿no? No puedo decir, ¿verdad? Pero yo no creía. Yo creía que los hermanos eran falsos.
He said that he's the example of not being dead in his faith. We used to have brothers that I would invite over to the house when I was doing ministry by myself, you know, when he kind of just got out of it. And they'd come over to the house, and he just said, you know, no. Like he said, you know, God has an opportunity for us to step out in faith.
Mm-hmm. Pues Dios es grande, Dios, y la fe trabaja por nosotros. Si uno cree en Dios, si uno cree verdaderamente que Dios nos va a sacar adelante de ese hoyo que estamos, no creemos en Dios, si no tenemos fe, ahí nos vamos a quedar. Tenemos que salir adelante con la fe. El Señor es grande y tenemos que seguir lo que Él nos da. Aquí dice en Juan 5:4. Dice, porque todo aquel que ha nacido de Dios vence el mundo y nuestra fe.
Okay, in 1 John 5:4, it says, everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And we have to be persistent.
Es lo que les estaba diciendo. Yo estuve 3 meses, quizás todos saben, 3 meses sin trabajar y estaba desesperado, pensaba que ya no, yo le pedía a Dios, Señor, ¿por qué me pasa esto? Pero Dios sabe cómo nos mueve, Dios sabe cómo va a mover. Entonces, de repente, tuve 3 meses sin trabajar y de repente el trabajo vino a mi casa. ¿Por qué? Porque tuve fe de que Dios me iba a sacar de hoyo que estaba yo ahí.
Okay, most of y'all know he lost his job after 24 years on the corner of a century. You know, when you see that, it really kind of just, just goes, why? He got another job right after that. He got a lot of offers, but the job that he got didn't work out. 2 weeks later, he was without a job for 3 months. And he was saying, he was kind of like he just wasn't easy with not having a job for 3 months. But God saw us through. He saw us through those 3 months. He said, we did a job. All we kept saying was, Lord, you didn't give us all this. You didn't bless us with all this for you to come take it. Now, so God came through for him.
Pero Dios trabaja como uno cree. Dios trabaja al tiempo de él, no al tiempo de nosotros.
God works not in our time, but in His time. And His job that He has now, that's how we have come to believe that God moves in our life through faith. Because when God does something, your hands are in it. And that morning, we went to pick up my grandson. And when he was gone, I had sat there praying, and I had told the Lord, he needs a job. Because I could see him. A man that takes care of his family, doesn't want to sit at home, doing nothing. And he had made application after application. Well, I looked on Facebook, a friend of ours had posted a job, and when he came home, I had all the information. I go, 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 go. He got the job. The job came to him without putting on hand. So God is good. God is good, like he said. And his faith.
Well, and I can't tell you.
Thank you. Okay.
Vamos a leer en Proverbios.
Okay.
La fe de Jehová de todo corazón. Es lo que le estaba diciendo yo. Cuando uno le pide a Dios con el corazón, Dios nos cumple los deseos. Pero no vamos a orar. Hay oraciones que muchas veces hacemos, Señor, la iglesia, no más, nada. Pero si uno le pide a Dios, si se hinca uno, le pide de corazón, Dios nos contesta, Dios nos oye. Porque muchas veces Dios, Él quiere que nosotros veamos que Él es verdadero, que Él nos da. Y la salvación viene por la fe. La salvación viene por la fe, no viene por nada más. Si uno tiene fe, we say.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, the last scripture was trust and rely in Proverbs 3:5. Trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your insight or understanding. And like he said, our prayers may be small, but they have to get stronger. Our faith has to get stronger. And our trust has to be in set. And leave that the microphone to Sister.
Gracias. Dios los bendiga.
God, and they completely hit the all the scriptures that Jesus is perfect.
Trust, the definition of trust, is a firm belief in reliability, truth, strength, in someone or something. Believe means to accept something as true. So my question now is, what is your understanding of trust? I hear people say, I have trust issues.
Yeah.
What are your issues? Did you have a rough childhood? Did things not work out like you would thought as a child? Why did mom or dad behave in this way? Were you being abused? Were the kids molested? What is that issue? Are you married? Have a mate that cheated on you? Is that your issue? There's PK kids in here. You guys have given and watched your parents give and give and give to the church from everything that they have, whether it's emotional, spiritual, financial, to have someone or something betray that trust. Is that your understanding of trust? If there's authority figures, police officers, teachers, anyone that's in any form of authority, has someone done something that violated your trust? Is that your issue? Well, let me tell you, first off, if that's your issue of trust, that's a lie. That is the opposite of trust. That is betrayal. I use the scripture Proverbs 3:5. Before I go back to what they just said, is the opposite of trust fear. Fear is spoken 365 times in the word. Trust is only spoken of 20 times. So that's a reminder that every day the enemy comes with what is his job? To rob, steal, and destroy. Who puts fear in us? The enemy. So for 365 days, every single day of our lives, we're going to be tempted with something that's outside of the word of God. But God then gives us that Proverbs 3:5, and it's so easy to get, but I didn't get it to the other one, was very gave it to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your understanding. So your understanding has been deceived since the beginning of time for some. So could we, as children, to grown up, trust God fully until sometimes some of us, myself, first off, I didn't trust God. My childhood was messed up from the start. I kind of go parallel with one of the sisters yesterday that spoke. So I didn't realize I got myself in the situation that I chose to do abusive men, blah, 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 blah. But when you're birthed into a situation that you had no control of, but the master did, I had an issue of getting before the throne and giving it away. How can you give it away to someone who gave you these parents or gave this situation as an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a police officer? How are you supposed to? And as I started reading and getting through the word as a young child, God always helped me. I was one of those people that he chose, and I get it now as a grown-up. But he always kept me in situations that other people would have been addicts under a bridge, or they would have been abusive parents themselves, or they would have had multiple partners. God kept me for this day. For something better than who I am. I don't see the stuff that I went through time and time again. But the trust came when I turned from the Father's house. I know Pastor Regina before she was pastor. I knew her at First Assembly. I got saved under Pastor Maddox. But I didn't have a relationship. I was going through the motions. Stuff would pop up. And I was like, here we go again. But now when stuff pops up, I'm able to go, I've seen this before, though. And you can have this day. Well, you may have it on today. But I know when my breakthrough comes, who's going to be walking around looking all right that day? I'm going to go for stuff. I'm going to go for stuff. Yes, the word says there's promises. But if you look about everybody that followed Jesus after the resurrection, each of them had a cross they had to bear. We're no different. So we can learn to stand firm on the word and know who we are. That's the key, on who you are through the eyes of Christ. Not what someone has said to you, not what someone has said about you, but who you are. When you stand in the mirror and see that person looking back at you and you are proud of what you see because of the changes that you've made or the word that you stand on that you love from a place of genuineness, that the person next to you was talking trash talk, lying about you, cheating, even in the house of God. As they have. If you can sit there and feel this grace for that person, you can see them into their mind.
Right.
some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I'm just going to go on the last 5 years. When my kid had a car accident before yours this October, I was in a position where there was nothing I could do in my power to change the outcome of that situation but pray. And in that moment, I prayed. After I got this happen, my discussion with God, Lord, you do this, I'm going to take everybody that I brought to you, I'm going to turn them against you. Who do you think you are doing this to me? And I was in my car, the pastor's going on my phone, I'm like, pull over, I'm going to get you. I'm like, no, I'm dealing with God right now. It's not God dealing with me. I'm dealing with God. But then all of a sudden, those scriptures that Pastor taught us, me, 10 years ago, that you write a scripture down, you memorize, and you have your six pack. And then after you learn those, you put six more. And when you're in a time of crisis, the Holy Spirit will pull those out of you. And so even though I may not know where they were coming from, word after word on the head and not the tail, the weapon formed against me shall prosper. And it just went on and on and on. By the time I got to the hospital following my flight, I had this peace and calm beyond understanding. Everybody else around me falling on the floor, losing it, and I'm like, okay. And then Pastor, oh my God, it's water, some ice. She's praying, and she's like, I gotta step out. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. My kid's face is wide open. My other child in another city, so not knowing what's going on with her. But even in that moment, I realized that I'm in control of something. I could choke on a glass of water in 20 minutes and be standing for the great I am. And the minute you come to that realization, you're in control of nothing, absolutely nothing, then you can, I trust you, God. I know who you are in my life. Even if you take my kids, I will trust you, God, because their future may be worse than what's going on right now because they're staying. I trust you, God. When you get to that place, then you know that you know that you know that God has your back. And no matter what you face, there is an ending to what's in front of you. God looking at this. It'll look at this. That is your out. I'm going to end with this. I think I'm out of time. I'm at the other time. In the very beginning, I asked you if you radically believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. So if you will trust him for eternity, forever and ever and ever, why can't you trust him on today?
Glory be to God. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just say I'm very nervous. And though I am new to this, you best better believe with absolution of certainty, I'm true to this. Glory be to God. First of all, honor and all right, because of you, I stand. Thank you, Pastor Wilk, for instructing me and just saying that I do it correctly. And Pastor Regina, thank you for just, you know, never letting go. Anybody ever see the dog that's on a leash that gets angry or gets high in its emotion and starts to run after getting its on its leash? Pastor Regina would be that leash. Okay. Brother, go ahead and get right into this, and I'm going to do my best to deliver it in a manner that is efficient and most of all effective. I'm going to a familiar passage. It will be the 23rd Psalm. First of all, I want to ask everybody to close your eyes. And you're ready to close your eyes. Now, I want you to think really hard about something that you really, really want, something that you really, really desire. Okay? Now, you can open your eyes. Okay? I'm going to just brush the bubble just a little bit. I'm going to tell you the truth is that you don't really want anything. You see, as a child of God, and when you have Christ, you want nothing, you lack nothing, you need nothing. Thinking ain't so, let's go to Psalms 23. And it starts off and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. Okay? So, when I was a child, I shall not walk. He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams, renews my strength. Guides me along right paths, brings honor to his name. as I was a child, when I was a child, and I was emulating this prayer, I was saying it behind my elders, emulating them. I had no understanding of it. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, he's Jesus, and I don't want him to be my shepherd, Lord, taking care of my sheep. But you see, when I was a child, I reasoned, I thought, and I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I put aside those childish things. As I grew older, I began to study to show myself the work and proof that I might correctly handle, reason according to, speak according to, and think according to the truth. Glory, hallelujah. Now, let's talk about the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. That means he is my shepherd. We are his shepherd. And what a good shepherd does is a good shepherd tends to their sheep. I tend to, it needs to take care of, to look after, to give attention to watch over, and to protect. A good shepherd is responsible for providing things up, provision, protection, and guidance. And that's what a good shepherd does. Everybody that pretty much knows me knows that I work in the service industry. I work in fine dining. I work in a fine dining restaurant. And fine dining is different from common places, common restaurants like, you know, Luke's and Golden Corral. When you go to a fine dining restaurant, the doors are open for you. The doors are open for you. You're guided to your seat. Not only are you guided to your chair, but your chair is pulled out for you to sit down. And not only is the chair pulled out for you, but the napkin is pulled off the table and placed over your lap. You're not wanting anything, you're not needing anything, you're not lacking anything, because all is being done for you. Now, many people might ask me, well, what's good on the menu? Okay, well, I'm going to find out what can move for you, and move for you. You tell me that, and then I'm going to give you the best choice. Now, the choice is still yours. And once you get your meal, there's something called mise en place. I won't go into what it is, but I'll tell you how it functions. Mise en place is that when you have a fork at the table and you use that fork, what your server will do is he'll remove that from you after you use it to give you another fork or another utensil to prepare you for your next course of the meal. Some people are going to hold on to it, and that's fine. That's fine. That's your choice. If you want to hold on to those things that are in your past that are not necessary for what you have before you pass away. Okay. Not only that, but as a good server, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure, sir, that you have everything you need. I have a crumb that I'm going to get the crumbs and remove the crumbs from your table. And for your tea, when I see an empty packet on the table, I'm going to remove it. I'm going to pull another one out and put it right in front of you. That's black nothing you need now. You see, Jesus, what he does for us is he opens doors for us. He provides all that we need for every single experience. Okay? He gives us guidance and direction, showing us which way to turn, which way to go. Even when we don't know which way to turn, which way to go, even when we sometimes don't know what we even want. And I have a lot of people, a lot of times, when they want extra range dress and how they want so-and-so. And say, I've done everything. They say, sorry to bug you, but you know, you have someone. I said, a good server is going to say, you're not bugging me. I need to go to wait for every request.
Oh, damn.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Your close beside me, your rod and your staff will teach me and they comfort me. Now, we'll talk about the rod, the staff. The rod paints a picture of that thing that protects you, but that also corrects you. The staff is a picture of that thing that provides support. The thing that provides support, and at the end of it has a little hook so that it can keep the sheep near. So the staffing speech of the thing that provides support and keeps you near to your shepherd, keeps you near to your God. Now, what I thought was interesting is when I went and looked up the valley is a narrow reach of land between mountains, hills, and other high areas. It's formed through erosion. It's going through erosion. It's kind of like, you know, when things start falling out from underneath you, when things start kind of going wrong. But if you go back and you look at Scripture, before you get to the valley, he says, I will renew your strength. So, see, even though it's falling down around you, what you need. Before you lost your job, he gave you what you need. Before your husband, your brother, your nephew became addicted to crack cocaine, he gave you what you needed. He gave you what was necessary. And so now, the interesting thing about the veterans is that most of them, a greater percentage of them, have streams that flow through them. So even while you're in that valley, that thing is still present that gives and sustains life. I'm trying to speak this up to y'all. Okay. Now, I always say that we have to find from that mental negativity. And we got to learn to raise ourselves up and grow ourselves to a level of maturity that we can successfully balance that line. See, I follow the instruction of Paul when he said, I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know where to have everything and have nothing. And whether I have nothing or everything, for the feast or famine, plenty or little, I've learned to be content. You see, when you can wrap your mind around that, then you are being transformed by the renewal of your mind. Your mind has been elevated, lifted, raised to a level that allows you a vantage point, enabling you to see past the hills and over the mountains, having you to be able to see above, beyond, and outside your circumstances. Everything is designed for you, that you need nothing, that you lack nothing. Now, I'm going to finish this off with this. It says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by honoring my hand with oil. Cup overflows with blessings. This part was most important to me because whenever I read that, and I'm sure some of you have too, you imagine the Lord preparing a table before you in the midst of your enemies. And the first thing usually comes to my mind was, I get to ride by them. What they call it, high side and high captain flossing, whatever verb and vernacular you choose to use. God did it for me, so I'm going to show it off the face. But that is not the purpose of the point of it. The point of it is, see, if your cup is overflowing, then you have more than what you need. If you're preparing a feast, that means give them some of that thing that you have more than you can handle. I was outside of this church the other night, and you know, everybody knows it used to be. I was under attack. A young man came and he asked me, he said, change the master money. I didn't have any change over at the time, but I recognized him before he recognized me. And I talked to him and said, you don't remember me. And after you remember me, I talked about all that the Lord had done for me and how he had delivered me. But what I failed to do, I failed to impart upon him that, brother, you know, everything Jesus did for me, he can also generally go do it for you. Forgive me, Lord. But you see, it's not necessarily about having those things just to have them. And give them, even so, give them to your enemies and to those people who have talked to you and talked about you. But you got people out there that are hurting. You got people out there that are lost. You got people out there that are killed. So it's upon you to give them what is more valuable than gold and silver, diamonds, or money, or anything that money can buy. You give them Jesus. That they might not want anything, that they might not lack anything, that they might not need anything. Thank y'all for your time. Glory be to God.
As we get ready to close, I want to remember about Jesus.
have a word for you. I have a word for God. And I'm going to ask you guys not to leave me if you're part of leadership, my children for sure. But you know what? One of God, I look out over this audience congregation. The Lord told me about the layering of this ministry. So really what you have is for every person that in this room. It's for every person in this room. And so, Apostle, you, I want you to come forward now. And I want you to impart, amen, the blessing. Impart. Mm-hmm. And she begs me to let her pray for me. Something will happen and I'll forget and not call back. She'll call me back. This is a little worried. I'm going to pray for you. Let me tell you something. I tried to learn from her and dodge her. You know, I just never met relentless in the Holy Ghost. Every time it was relentless, amen, I would run from it because it always gives a kind of strength, you know? And so when I saw her, I mean, like, I was like, when she would try to draw me in, man, I was like, I don't have time for no grace in my life. I don't need nobody to speak a craziness over me. And one day, I was at midnight. And I knew it. I was like, going, and I lay down on the chairs and clean the floor. And she said, come, Rose. Come on, honey. Let me pray for you. I just go and I'm like, oh, I'm so mad. I just know one of these times there'll be something crazy. So without a doubt, it's like they didn't even try to speak say on me when I go pray. They would always speak what was not going to happen to them. I wasn't going to be blessed and try to do it in a sweet little package. You know what I'm saying? Until one day the Lord told me, he said, you bow like to communicate. And I stopped cutting. I started cutting the chain off. There's somebody listening to me right now. Not every word that comes from the Lord. If you feel worse than you did after you received it, amen, before you, if you feel worse after you did it than you did before, and it does not bear witness in your spirit, you do not receive it. Well, let me tell you what. I was running from it. And the Lord said, I was trying to go to, like, another line. I don't know what I was afraid of other than that she would do. The Lord said, no. You go over there, you care. Yesterday I did fall down, but I don't normally, like, I don't make four people. I feel like that. The anointing of God that's been released over your life, you should be able to stand under it when you carry it. You should be able to stand out of the anointing. But I'm going to tell you what. This woman, she laid hands on me. Took me to the floor. Not pushing me to the floor. I had that done to you. Spoke a word that God was going to draw me into a new and a fresh place. I started radio. Televisions, tell me the attention, pray of the Lord, give me my building, lay hands on my husband, prepare to bring up, he slammed into that wall, he slammed in that hand, he got up and he didn't feel like how he did. Would you just stop moving? And so I'm telling you, and when she said she got a blessing good part in the town, I trust you so much. She's the word. She's the blessing. She's getting ready to pronounce the blessing. And I know that word. I know it works. I have people come in and I love that. And I'm not the one that I saw the food started.
in our family.
Where's your husband?
You're going to have to draw a little bit closer today.
That's something I'll tell you, buddy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, Pastor Regina. Oh, Richard God, I am so humbled to stand here today before you, great woman of God.
Amen.
I love y'all. Y'all stay with me constantly.
Amen.
Just really look at me. I'm serious. I see y'all constantly. Sometimes I feel like I'm hovering off somewhere looking in your services. But I'm out of town, out of the country. This church is in my spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes that's why I text in the early morning like that. And 3 and 4 in the morning, I know everybody's sleeping. But Jesus be talking to me. And I'm an encourager because I believe the spirit that's in you, dear God, you're unstoppable. Did you hear that word? I said you're unstoppable.
Hallelujah.
You do that thing that you do, and nobody else can do it like you. You bad. You bad. And the Lord sent this word to encourage you. You know, I didn't even know. He said, go up there and stay an extra day with her. I want you to be with her today. And to be able to do that Mighty Soul Conference this weekend, this is like the cherry on top. The show must show up. Coming from the real deal. You get that all from me. You know, and she's right that this is for the whole church. I know what, you know, I know we got protocol and time and all that, but I'm asking Lord for stretch of the time today. Just long enough, like he did for Joshua. That's the least of life he did for Joshua, that time to stand still just long enough for me to do what he told me to do. The impartation, how did you know that? That's what he said, impartation. Because this is a new hour and a new day. This is the first day of a new day in your life. And guess what, Father Powell? There's another Father Powell sitting down with our Lord Minister, too. Praise God. You know, it's something about the Father Powell. When you name a church, it births in your spirit. New Beginning is our church. We just finished the 8 months. Glory to God. That's new birth, new start. And we enter over into a completeness of the a fruit of the Spirit that you possess. Might not be manifesting itself yet. Not all of them. Because that long suffering is a book of it. You know, that was this for the last time. I'm sick of it. Long suffering has got to kick in. We don't want to do that. I want to give you this for the Lord said in the back. The Lord said, promise. Say promise, church.
Promise.
This is a promise from God. Because I was trying to say in the Father's house, don't know just everything go on up in there. In the story, 11th chapter, Mark is writing out when Jesus went there and cleaned the house. From 7 in the temple. He said, free not give, free to receive. I hope somebody's writing it down or recording it or something. Because I want you to go back and check check it out to see if I be not a prophet of the Most High God. I don't call my own accord of myself, but he sent me. And I can't even be no place unless he sends me.
Yes,
yes. But Regina, I'm going to lock my feet down before you. I go someplace. And you didn't tell me to go. I can close my mouth, keep the doors of my mouth, Psalms 141. Shut me up if I'm saying anything that you have not told me to say. I don't want to damage your life. I don't want to hurt you, but I'm definitely going to give you the truth according to God's will. He cleaned house. He turned over tables. Because he wouldn't just have anything. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer.
Amen.
Look around, see the walls. Look around. Look around the sanctuary. This is not the house. You are the house. When your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, he dwells in us. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. He said, give them my promise. Joe, that's Regina, you guys. He said, I'm going to make you an offer you shouldn't receive. Remember who said that, don't you? The Corleone family and God's father, I made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. And that's what this is today. Woman of God, stand before me. Hear what the Lord said. Faithful is he that has called you. Faithful is he that has called you. Because he offered you another place in him, even beside him. This place, Psalms 91, the secret place. It's the secret place of God. That he wants to rest upon your shoulders. And what he does in you, he does also in your mate. One call along the side. For when he extracted the wheel from his side, you were his fruitful helpmate. It's the missing wheel that's going to keep you up today until he touches you. This touch is coming directly from him. Hold her cheek. This call is for a secret place anointing where you experience his power in greater degree. I'm making you an offer you shouldn't refuse. I say greater power, more than authority, my sister and my daughter, my well-beloved. But I say unto you, far to me. Power is one thing. Authority is one thing. But dominion captures the whole. There's nothing that be able to stand against you. You're going to call me back. And there's going to be a revival. Because we're going to talk about infallibility and impregnable that we live in a place in hell, my Lord and my son, that there's no room for error or mistake. I'm bringing you into it because you're going to impart it to my people. That brother that brought up the shepherd, oh my God, I know he told you to preach that. You set it up for me. God with you. He's proving you his eternal presence. That nowhere you go, he will not be with you. Or he's going to order your steps. He's going to order your steps, Joe. He's going to order your steps, man of God. Or you're nearing that turn in the road where you're going to be doing a new thing. And it's her design. She wants to see that. But I'm so glad I'm shifting glory to God over that long. That the Lord even said to you that you are not intimidated by nobody and no man because you know who you are. But you got to be the man that he's making. He's making you. He's making you. Come on, let's see this. You know, you know what the spirit y'all read last night? You don't like that. You don't like nobody do that to you. That's what it is, all right? You don't like for nobody put your arm and force and make. But the Lord said, I'm the maker. But only your creator will help me. Hallelujah. God says that he's given to you revelation knowledge. That when you look at the scripture, the words that don't bring up with me, like you were saying that, bring up our way. Hold on. It's going to open up. Come on, baby. Pray, church. Pray. That's anointing your eyes with eyesight. And here let's get it over to you. The anointing of the Lord is in this place.
Economy.
I'm releasing you, God. I have said the power is mine, the bone is mine, and you are mine. I'm taking the hell by you. The obedient of God. You got to learn and obey and forgive. There are some stipulations that go with it. You must not be like a wild ass in the wilderness. But you walk upright. But you are a prototype. A new breed of black people. That whole creation shall be waking up. But it shall feel in touch with my soul. I will draw from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I will bring you to a place that expansion is in your future. But I have chosen this place to be a haven of revival fire that shall break out. I saw a giant hammer, and it hit the middle of this city. We're going to go here, right downtown. Huh? Close, right close to the center part. But you are my gatekeeper. You are the gatekeeper. Father God, you're the gatekeeper. What you say happens, you've been saying death and life is in the power of the tongue too long not to see it happen. When you speak, you're created, man of God. You're creating something. That's how powerful you are. He says it's in your mouth and it's in your hand. Whatever you need. For I've given to you my son Joe and my daughter Regina. I give you an open portal to this church. Do this. An open portal of my love and my power and my mercy. I'm opening a portal over you. That you can have what you say. Yes, church, even to the musician. Man of God, when the musicians play, it's going to set an atmosphere of heaven on earth. Because y'all are strange, yo. But you're unique. The worshiper, the singer, there's going to be a new sound coming straight from the throne of God. CDs, worship CDs. Oh, my God. Shall it grow from this place? You're going to set an atmosphere for healing to hit the house. People with deaf ears, they don't flip over and hear. Even with sickness and disease and the worship, they're going to be healed. Getting off walkers out of wheelchairs. But you no longer will try to push forth to worship your own, but you will allow the Spirit of God to take you with the tree and grace.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street knows so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.